Blog Talk Radio.
By the blood of the Lamb, redeemed now.
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. Sister Carla, and I am your host this evening. Let us start with a word of prayer, please. Kind and loving Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, this Holy Sabbath preparation day, and the Sabbath is right here upon us, Lord. We thank you for this time that we can come a while from our busy work, Lord, from this life of stress, of suffering, of worries, Lord, of pain. We ask that you will be with us. We ask that you will bless each and every one of us, those that are on, those that will be joining us, Lord. Would you hasten their footsteps, Lord, so that they can join us and receive a blessing, give their testimony, and talk of your goodness so that they can be an encouragement to others. Bless those that are joining us via the internet, Lord. We ask that you will touch them in a mark where you know their needs, their desire, although they cannot tell us because they're on the internet, but you know the hearts of your people. So we ask that you will answer their prayer accordingly, O Father, so that they can be blessed, Lord. Again, we thank you and we praise you for this Holy Sabbath day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, welcome, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening right here on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. And I will share this quote. Amen. And it reads, it is taken from Desire of Ages, page 281, paragraph 2. And it says, the Sabbath was hallowed at the creation. As ordained for man, it had its origin when the morning stars sung together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Job chapter 38, verse 7. Peace brooded over the world in harmony with heaven. God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and he rested in the joy of his completed work, Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Because he had rested upon the Sabbath, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart to it, to a holy use. He gave it to Adam as a day of rest. It was a memorial of the work of creation and thus a sign of God's power and his love. The scripture says he had made this wonderful work to be remembered. The things that are made declare the invisible things of him, which the creation of the world, even his everlasting power, divinity. Genesis chapter 2, verses 3. Also Psalms chapter 111, verse 4. And Romans chapter 1, verse 20. So we see that from the creation, God created Sabbath, and it was created for us. And he loves us so much that he knew from the beginning what we were in need of. He knew that our body needs rest, because if he didn't say remember it and he didn't put it as a special day for us to take, we will be toiling and working 7 days a week like the world, or, you know, like we used to do before we learned the Sabbath truth. But we thank the Lord for this truth and that we embrace it and accept it as his blessed Sabbath day, a day of rest, a day of coming together, a day for family especially, because some family, especially the dad, they work hard and they barely get to see their children. They're so busy working. But we just thank God again for this holy Sabbath day of rest. So again, thank you, brothers and sisters. If there's any who would like to share, go ahead and press 1 so that you can share. Again, happy Sabbath, my brothers and sisters. And I just want to welcome you this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. So please press 1 so that you can share your testimony, or if you have a prayer request, a song of meditation, this is the time to share, my brothers and sisters. So I'll go ahead and open the line for the first caller that has pressed 1. 482, happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. I am very happy to be here this evening, overjoyed, thanking God for his wonderful blessings over me, his watch care over all of us, and especially me. I want to give God praise and thanks. Especially for today, I went to see the doctor for after how many years? Nearly 3 years. And last night, my heart started to race. But, you know, I don't know what happened. But anyway, I prayed, and I went back to sleep. They want to put me back on some medication, but I don't think I want to go back on them because I have left them too long. But anyway, everything is in God's hand. And whilst I was there, I was just giving out my tracts to do to all the nurses that were around me. I was giving them, you know, giving out some tracts. They had to take my blood. Like, they have to start over everything because it's 3 years I haven't seen a doctor. And I'm thankful to God for my health and for my strength and what he has given me. This evening, I just want to read this from the Ministry of Healing. A little reading. I won't read very long because I want others to have their time. Ye shall find rest. Tenderly he bade the toiling people, that's Jesus, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. In these words, Christ was speaking to every human being. Whether they know it or not, all are weary and heavy laden. All are weighed down with burdens that only Christ can remove. The heaviest burden that we bear is the burden of sin. If we were left to bear this burden, it would crush us. Imagine that. But the sinless one has taken our place. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He has borne the burden of our guilt. He will take the load from our weary shoulders. He will give us rest. The burden of care and sorrow, he will bear. He invites us to cast all our cares upon him, for he carries us upon his heart. So, my dear brothers and sisters, I am very, this really touched my heart, because I said, God, you know, carries all of us on his heart. He's interested. If we were to bear the burdens of sin, all of us would be crushed. You wouldn't be able to stand up to it. And this evening, I'm thankful for the Sabbath, and I'm thankful to my dear brothers and sisters, all of us who meet on this line each day, each evening, whenever we reach. God has blessed us immensely. And I want to sing this song. You may not know it, but it's just a song that I love. It's innocent. It says, sweet the time. Sweet the time, exceeding sweet. when the saints together meet, when the Savior is the theme, when they join to sing of him. Sing within eternal love, such as did the Father move. He beheld the world undone, loved the world, and gave his Son. Sing, we too, the Spirit's love. With our stubborn hearts he strove, filled our minds with grief and fear, brought the precious Savior near. Sweet the time, exceeding sweet, when the saints in heaven shall meet. Jesus still will be the theme. They shall always sing of him. And this is my little advice to us all here this evening. We shall find rest. And we can only find rest in Christ. It is said that man is restless until he rests in Christ. So this evening, my little advice to all of us is to go out there and tell somebody of Jesus' love, because there are so many who don't even know that Jesus loves them. And they are dying to know. So my advice is that we all go out there at some time, at least take a little time out and just talk to somebody about Jesus and his love for them, because this world is so cold and hard, but Jesus loves us. And I want to sing a song. I won't stay sing very long. I want to sing this song, How Vain Is All Beneath the Sky. I'm going to sing two verses. How vain is all beneath the sky, our transient every earthly bliss, how slender all the fondest ties that binds us to a world like this. Then let the hope of joy to come dispel our cares and chase our fears. If God be ours, we're traveling through the passing through a veil of tears. Thank you, Sister Paula, for opening my line. God bless all of us who will come on this line this evening, and may we continue to sing of Jesus' love. Thank you, Sister Paula, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath to all.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Happy Sabbath, Sister Consonelli. It's always a joy to hear you on the prayer line. And as you said, day is just a blessing for each and every one of us to come and rest a while and just trust in the Lord, my dear sister. God will take care of everything. God will take care of us if we trust in him and if we're obedient to his word and to his commandment. Amen. So continue to be faithful, my dear sister. Thank you for sharing the song, and thank you for just coming on in your presence. Amen. I will go to the next caller again. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. 518-951. Your line is now open.
Thank you, my dear beloved Sister Carlo, for opening my line. This is Sister Powell calling from Kingston, Jamaica. Happy Sabbath to everyone. Thanks, Sister Consonelli, for that song. Brothers and sisters, it's a joy, pleasure for this Sabbath, as Sister Consonelli just said. You know, this day of rest, it is so special to my soul. It's so special that I can, you know, that I can come apart from my busy schedule to give God the praise, because he is worthy to be praised. The song have said that burdens are lifted on Calvary. Only Calvary we can lay all our burdens. And when we lay our burdens from Monday to Friday, we know that this is a time that we can have that rest, that peace, without that pass it all understanding that we rest and cast all the cares of the week that passed, and we, you know, are able to deal with the blessed Sabbath day that God have given unto us. So I just thankful for that. My dear beloved, I am asking my brothers and sisters continue to pray for us here in Jamaica, and especially the children and the parents, you know, school. The children are going to school. There are so many things is happening. But I just remember in his word that he said that we are going to see things happen in this world that never since this world created. And we know that he also told us that we must look up our redemption right now. So I'm asking you to pray for the parents and their children, them who go into school. And I really have a praise report, my dear beloved. I did not get a chance to share it. You know that I have been doing some evangelism here, missionary work in the field. And I am telling you, God have some wonderful children out there, despite, you know, they are needed. But, you know, God have some precious gems. And as we have been studying that, God told us to help the poor. Matthew 24, the work that we have to do. So last week, Sunday, we was at Geisel, that is St. Catherine, you know, Honda's House Project. And my dear beloved, Eva did, I think earlier, my nephew came down, and one of the gentlemen, the Mason man, who went, last week, he came down and asked me if I am going back Sunday. So I just give praise to God that, you know, what people ask, you still have people out there who have a willing heart. People out there is well ready to help the needy. And I could tell him that, you know, I did not plan to go Sunday, but I plan if the Lord's will to go the following Sunday, in which we feel that we should be nearing completion of that house. So, my dear beloved, God is so good. He's so great. While we were there Sunday, my dear beloved, there was this gentleman, the driver, who brought some lumber. And eventually he went into the house, and I was in the van back. So I saw him and said, hello, my dear beloved. How are you doing? And he was so joyful, he came out and we were there chatting, and I took a great controversy book in my hand, and he were talking, and I was telling him, ask the goodness of God, and asked him if he knows anything about the Seventh-day Adventists, and he said, I know a lot, and he was just chatting. So I do ask him if he know what the mark of the beast is. He did not come fearful with it to say what it is, but he was just saying system, you know, exploitation with system. So I was able to share what it is, and I said to him, I have a little book here. You know, I'm going to give you this book. He said, no, I don't want it. I don't think I can read it. But, you know, he was trying like he didn't want the book. But I was there talking to him, and he wouldn't leave. All I am sharing the word with him. The driver was still at the truck door, the van door, and was there listening. So I said, oh, thank you for listening. But I'm just asking you, this book, you know a lot, but I would like you to read this book, and then you share it, the great controversy, then you will see all these things that is happening. It's there, and you will see for yourself that you can share with others. So his name is John, so I'm asking you to lift up John in prayer that, you know, God will open his mind, his heart, and soul, that he will read that word and share with others and also draw closer to God. Thank you, my dear beloved Sister Carlo, for opening my line. And Have a blessed Sabbath.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing that praise report. Thank you, Sister Powell, for the work that you're doing there in Jamaica. And the gospel, the message must go on. And, you know, as you're passing out these books, as you're talking with people, as you're sharing, it is such a blessing. And I just thank you again for sharing all that you do, you know, things that you remember to tell us, and even things that you don't remember to tell us. We know the Lord is taking notes of what we're doing. So such a blessing to hear the work that's going on there. Amen. So I have another caller that has pressed one. Good evening and happy Sabbath, my dear sister. I believe it's Sister Taimito, so I'll go ahead and open the line. 272-770, your line is not open.
Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Carla. Happy Sabbath to all my beloved brothers and sisters. Sister Taimiko from Pennsylvania. So I do have a Bible verse I would like to read, and then I do have a song I would like to sing. Psalms chapter 67, verses 1 through 7. Amen. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy sayings health among all nations. Let the people praise thee. O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm saying, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. All of my trials, I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind and compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver, make all my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, my sister Carla, for opening my prayer line. And I would like to ask for prayer requests. to lift up everyone this Sabbath evening on the prayer line, all my brothers and sisters. I would like to lift up your family as well, Sister Carla, Sister Powell in Jamaica, and Alex Nation, Sister Stephanie and her children, Sister Leola and her family and children as well, Sister Eva and Sister Daisy. And I would like a word of prayer for my family as well and for my mom, Dorothy. So I greatly appreciate the prayers, and I love you all. I will continue to keep all of you in my prayers as well. And have a blessed and happy Sabbath. God bless you all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tymiko, for coming on and sharing. Praise the Lord. We know that the Lord is merciful. He's long-suffering. He's good towards each and every one of us in our family. He said, in ignorancy, when, you know, he winked at us when we were ignorancy, but he's calling us to repent and forsake those ways. Amen. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. If there's anyone else who would like to share, please go ahead and press 1. So that I can open your line again. Welcome this evening and happy Sabbath. It's just a joy. I remember last Sabbath I was with the Richardson in Iron City, and now I am back home praising the Lord and blessing him, blessing his holy name, you know, talking, sharing his goodness as yesterday testimony, since no one else has pressed 1. Yesterday I was working. I've been working 12-hour shift, and I was working at the hospital. Well, I was sitting with a young man that's been shot, and he's, you know, paralyzed from the waist down. And just there talking, watching him, and, you know, it's been 3 days I've been going there. And yesterday I met his grandmother. We just got to talking and talking, and it was a blessing how I shared the help message with her. And, you know, I gave her some name of some stuff she needs to buy for her diabetes and also for hot flashes. You know, she's menopause. And just sharing with her and testifying of God's goodness and sharing about the health law, it was a blessing. And I said, praise the Lord. God wanted, this was an appointed time for us to meet, you know. And I also share with her grandson, his name is Zion. He's a twin, and he's, what, 14, but he got shot, and he's paralyzed from the waist down. And I met Zion's mom and met his other twin also, and, you know, I've just been praying for him while I was been there, encouraging him, and, you know, he's not eating, but basically not eating healthy. He just want to eat chips, and he's not eating a lot of that either. And, you know, I counsel him and tell him that he has to eat, you know, and the food. And, you know, also my coworker, you know, the food that you eat make your blood, so you have to eat good and nutritious food and drink water, because basically drinking juice and then, you know, these young people, they play video game. So, you know, I just encourage him, encourage his parents, and just, you know, playing Christian song and praying for him and reading the Bible in his presence. So I just thank the Lord for the opportunity. I thank him and I praise his holy name, for he has called us for a time such as this. And I was like, Lord, this is so far. It's an hour and a half to go, hour to come back, and it's so far. But the Holy Spirit put in my heart that you're basically working and yet you're doing ministry. You're coming into the city to do ministry while you're working. So it's double, twofold. And I just thank the Lord. And I say, Lord, forgive me for complaining, you know, the distance. And, you know, just help me to know that I am encouraging others. I'm praying with others. I'm seeing those that are in need of a Savior, and yet they don't know it and they don't see what is going on around them. So I just thank the Lord for wisdom, for knowledge and understanding. Amen. So I just thank him again, and I just want to thank each and every one of my brothers and sisters that comes on and testify. We're few in numbers right now. I'm not sure if others trying to get in and they can't or what, but I don't see any any callers right now, any more callers or any hands are up. So I'm just going to ask Sister Powell to give us one of our prayer. We might, I think we'll have another prayer as the time is, you know, the time, we still have some more time, but we're waiting for others to join us. So I'll ask Sister Powell to give us one of our prayer, and then later we'll have another prayer. Amen. So I'll go ahead and open her line. Your line is now open, Sister Powell.
Oh, okay, my dear. Thank you, my dear sister. Yes, my dear beloved, the Lord, Sister Paula just said, yes, you in number, but the Lord said, we are two or three gathered together. He is in the midst, right? So we are asking all brothers and sisters here on this line to bow our knee. Let us all summon our dear Heavenly Father. All right, give you a little chance that you can talk to your Father. You have heard, you know, the various requests that was offered, and let us also remember our churches, our ministers, our leaders, our youth, and our sick amongst us, and all those who are mourning at this time. Yes. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a blessed privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Kind and loving Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We, your children, come before you this moment to give you thanks for the many blessings you have showered down upon us during the past week. We want to thank you, dear Father, for your love. We want to thank you for your mercies. We want to thank you, Lord, for blessing us, Lord, with health, strength. We want to thank you for blessing us with providing for us food, shelter, clothing. We want to thank you for blessing some of us with a job, as we have listened to Sister Carla in the hospital, Lord, with that young man who is paralyzed from his waist down, young 14, I think. I'm asking you right now, dear Lord, the Lord you love and you call those youths. You want them to be strong and also to go as representatives to carry your word. And we are asking you, as Sister Colum, witness to that young man, Lord, daily, dear Father. Allow him, dear Lord, through the Holy Spirit, he will open his heart, his mind, that he will take in those studies, those words, those promises, Lord, and that he will come to you boldly, Lord, because you said if we ask, you will grant it unto us. And I do know both that young man and his family would like to see that young man get up out of his bed or out of his chair where he sits, Lord, and stand up. And I know you are able to do it. So as we come this moment boldly to the throne, Lord, depending upon you, Lord, work a miracle upon this young man so that him and also his family will to know you, dear Lord, and to give praises and to share what you have done for them. So, Father, we leave that young man in your care. Heavenly Father, we also lift up Sister Carla while she travels back and forth, Lord, on the busy highway for your protection, your love, your mercy, your compassion that never faileth, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for the strength that you have given unto her, that she is able to minister both physically and also spiritually, and Lord, to comfort, Lord, those who are in need. So we just want to ask you, Lord, for your covering for your dear daughter. Heavenly Father, tonight, dear Lord, you have listened to the songs and the testimony, Lord, and the reading, dear Father. We ask you, Father, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in your word. And also help us, Lord Jesus, that we will digest these words and we will take it in, put it in practice, Father, that you want us to share to others out there, those who are in the world who are wandering and do not know what we are to turn. We are asking you, Father God, to allow our light to shine so that they will see and to know your words, to study your word, and that they will come to you. Heavenly Father, tonight, dear Lord, we lift up Sister Consinelli. You know everything about her, dear Lord. You are the great physician. As she seeks you, Lord Jesus, with her heart, you know everything about her, Lord. And you have been keeping her all these years. And you promise that you will never leave her. Lord, she trusts you. She depends upon you. And she knows you are her great physician. So, Lord, we leave her under your care. Ask you to bless her husband and the children and also grandchildren. And as she prayed for Advent Light brothers and sisters, family, she also prayed for her immediate family, those who do not know you. We know the desire of her heart that they can repent and come to know you and have a personal relationship with you. So I leave her in your care. Father, we also lift up tonight Sister Tamiko. Thank you, Lord, for their ministry and her ministry, dear Lord, sharing those books wherever she goes, the supermarket, when she goes to her appointment, and all around her little neighborhood, Lord. She doing evangelism, Lord, by sharing those documents, Lord, to others. And we just want to thank you for the strength that you have given unto her, Lord, and the love in her heart for people that she's able to do your work. So, Father, as we lift up tonight, dear Lord, her mother, Lord Dorothy, continue to bless her. Allow her, dear Lord, that she will study your word and also will be obedient to with your commandment, that she will follow you fully, surrender everything. And also her siblings, she lift up her children, her grandchildren, she lift up Pastor Duby and all her church folks, Lord, and also Advent Light brothers and sisters. Lord, she lift up each one. You know the names, them, Lord, so we present them to you. Heavenly Father, I lift up myself to you tonight. I just want to thank you for your love, your mercies. First, Lord, like I lift up Sister Stephanie, traveled, Lord, to her daughter. And, Lord, we know that, you know, sometimes what parents have to be to face with their children, then they are out, Lord. Sometimes they are worried. So we thank you that she was able to go to spend the Sabbath with her daughter, strengthen her, and allow the daughter to see the love that her mother is extended unto her, and not only the Kaja, but all the college students that is away from home, Lord. We ask you to comfort them and pour your blessings upon each one so that they will remember your words and remember what you have taught them so that they can share with others. Heavenly Father, I lift up, Lord, Alex Nation, the Williams family, Ricardo, Dean, and Mr. Marcel. I lift them up to you and with the home, and also Alex. Father, the wonderful, beautiful, beloved donors, we lift up each one to you, dear Lord. and the work that have been done, dear Father. We know you are the one who is there. Thank you for the help and the team that I was able to take, Lord, to Geisel, and the work that they have performed. Lord, you are so good. You are so great. Thank you for the health and the strength that you have given unto me, Lord, that I can counsel, I can share, Lord, the blessings that you have given unto me. And I just want to give you thanks and praise for everything, Lord. Tonight, dear Lord, I lift up Brother Rick, Lord. Continue to bless Brother Rick, Ashley, and that family, and the family. Brother Richards, I lift up my Sister Richards and their area there in Tennessee. I lift up Sister Leola and her family, her children and grandchildren, Lord. I lift up Brother John and Sister Brenda and their family as they are in mourning. At this time, we know you are the great comforter, so we are asking you to comfort them. We also lift up Brother Eli as he prays, asks for prayer for his mother. You know everything about the mother, what she needs, our desire for heart, Lord. Continue to pour out your blessings upon him, and also Jari, Javelle, and the others, Lord. You know everyone, so we lift them up to you tonight, dear Lord. We lift up Sister Leola again. Continue to bless her and keep her. And Father, Brother O'Neill and his children, the missionary work that he's doing, we lift him up to you, Father. Give him all that he needs, that he can go on the battlefield to share, demonstrate, Lord, these wonderful products that he has. Lord, help, Lord Jesus, that those people will receive them, and that, Lord, the blessing will flow upon your dear son. We also lift up tonight the speaker. You know everything about the speaker and his family. Continue to keep, guide, and protect him. Continue to allow the message that will come out straight, Lord, and that we will understand it, Lord Father. Bless him and keep him and guide and also protect him. And help us, Lord, that we will be faithful, that when that great day comes, we all will meet you. And if there is anyone name that I miss, Lord, you know everyone, and you know the desire for heart. And as you are in the most holy sanctuary in heaven now, dear Lord, we present all these names to you, and we are asking you, let your will be done. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' loving name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. Amen. Thank you for that prayer. And these, some others have joined us. So if you want to share with a song, a thought of meditation, please press 1 so that I can open your line. Again, thank you, Sister Powell, for the prayer. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us this evening. Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. God is good, and he's truly worthy to be praised. And we just want to praise him right now on this holy day of rest. Amen. So if there's no one else that wants to share, we will go, I'll open the line for Brother Ricardo so that we can go into the word. I believe the Richardson is on. Thank you for joining us. Did you, Brother Richardson or Sister Richardson, did you want to share? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. But if not, I will open the line for Brother Ricardo so that he can begin his message. Amen. Praise the Lord. 931-7724, your line is now open.
Amen. Happy Sabbath. Amen. To all. Mr. Carter, happy Sabbath. And I was...
Happy Sabbath. Amen.
Thank you. I was glad to hear Sister Powell prayer all the way from Jamaica. God is so good. He is worthy to be praised. I said, Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's been such a blessing. I do not have tongue enough to give God all the thanks and the praise for what he is doing for me. You know that I said is, present tense, is doing. And he's continually in to bless me and my family, of course, in a tremendous way. And I have seen the hands of God working in a mighty way for the past few weeks. I mean, I have seen the Lord come true on many instances. And I thank him for his guidance and his leadings in my life. And even for all the brethren and them that that we can call upon and pray for and encourage by the grace of God, you know. So God is good, and we need to be faithful under whatever circumstances that the enemy are coming in on every side. And I am thankful for the Lord. I don't want to call name, but I want to let you know that, you know, a day or two, sister was going through such a terrible situation. I was able to reach out to her and was able to give her words of encouragement, words of advice, praying for her. I'm telling you, it went down really, really good at the end of the day. You know, to see how God works with his people and how he's working both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So I would like to sing a song. All right, I heard Sister Carla say about singing a song. So let me sing a song then. I was reading just two or three days ago about Exodus chapter 3, about Moses' experience. And I was so amazed how God revealed some in-depth truth as I was studying some things that I have missed and bypassed for the many years that I have not quite understood until I was going through the book of Exodus chapter 3. The call of Moses on the mount, the fire, the burning bush, and how it relates to us when God called us. We ought not to have excuses and saying, Lord, you know, I am not eloquent, like Moses said. I don't have all what it takes. When God called us to do something, we must not make any kind of excuses. Because at the end of the day, it is the Spirit of God that gives us utterance and gives us what we need to tell others and to live that life. All right, so I'll sing a song. I'll go where he wants me to go. And that song really resonated with me this week. All right. Let me just get it ready. All right. Just 1 second. I'll get it ready here. Okay. Hold. It's coming. It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front, my Lord will have need of me. prophet is by a still small voice he calls to path I do not know. I'll answer the Lord with my heart and thine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, on mountain or plain or sea. Lord, I say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. Perhaps today there's a loving word with Jesus would have me speak. There may be now in the paths of sin some wonder whom I should seek. Oh Savior, if thou wilt be my guide, so dark and rugged the way, my voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, of a mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. There's surely somewhere a lowly place in earth having fields so wide, where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus the crucified. So trust in my all unto thy dear Lord, I know thou lovest me. I'll do thy will with a heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. So I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or a mountain or plain or sea. Lord, I say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be.
Thank you, Sister Carla. Have a happy Sabbath, everyone. Bye-bye.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Richardson, Elder Richardson, for that song. Very beautiful. Very beautiful song. And that should be our aim. Whatever God wants us to do, to be, to say, be his mouthpiece. Amen. So praise the Lord again. Thank you for that song. And Sister Powell has already given us the prayer. So we're going to go right into the message. And I'll open the line for Brother Ricardo. Again, welcome, brothers and sisters. And as we know, the Blog Talk Radio cut us off exactly at 9 o'clock. So praise the Lord for Brother Ricardo. He finished on time last time, and as I was talking, it cut us off. So we just be mindful of that, and please join us again Sunday and also Thursday, Health Reform Thursday, and Sunday, last day event message at the same time. 610-704, good evening. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Happy Sabbath. Good evening. Thank you so much, my sister.
Amen.
Oh, how are you doing today?
Praising the Lord. All is well.
Amen. Amen. All right. Good evening, everyone. Karan, Anir, welcome, first listener. And regular listener, happy Sabbath again. Stay safe for another week. God have brought us on our way. We're going to look on the continuation of the second angel message. So we're going to look at part two of the second angel message. Go with me to Revelation chapter 14 verse 8. Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. Paul, just pray. While you're going there, can you quietly say a prayer for me for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to be our divine teacher? Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord God. You have brought us on our way again to need to see another Sabbath day of yours. This is not our hour, but your hour, your time. Lord, we are asking for your presence of your Holy Spirit. In spite of what we do, in spite of our shortcomings, oh God, we pray that you have mercy on each and every one of us. Lord, and please do not pass us by. Grant us now your Holy Spirit and to teach us and to stop with us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, now Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. Revelation chapter 14, verse 8, it reads, "And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." So Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Look with me at Great Controversy, page 382, paragraph 3. Great Controversy, page 382, paragraph 3. Regarding Mystery Babylon, the message of Revelation 14 announced the fall of Babylon must apply to a religious bodies that were once pure and have become corrupted. This is talking about the other churches which fall from a pure state and start to drink the wine of Babylon, which is the papacy, our doctrine, our dogmas. Since this message follows the warning of the judgment, it must be given in the last days. Therefore, it cannot refer to the Romish church. Why? She said that. For that church has been in a fallen condition for many centuries. I want you to pick up what the woman of God is saying. So when God said Babylon is falling, that great city, because she, who is she, who is the Bible dealing with? She, Rome, the papacy. She have made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath. So we look at the wine last week, and we look at the cup, and also this table. And we see that we have two types of wine. You have the fermented wine and you have unfermented wine. Babylon, the fallen churches, they are teaching fermented wine. And Seventh-day Adventists, I pray that we are serving, are teaching unfermented wine, not intoxicated drink. But wine represents doctrine. Let me show you the two flip side of this wine. I'm going to jump ahead of myself. Let me show you, because we can prove it from the spiritual practice. I'm going to show you that literal wine, they use it for nourishment. And also spiritual wine, the Bible says, is for words of nourishment. The literal wine, they were trying to use it for nourishment. But the spiritual wine is also words of faith. Nourish up in words of faith. Go with me to Daniel chapter 1, verse 5. Daniel chapter 1, verse 5. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Lord, just bring this to my mind. Daniel chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to show you something because it says, "For she made all nations drink of the wine of her fornication." So we look at we're going to look at the literal wine and also the spiritual wine. Now, beloved, I am not promoting and advocating wine drinking. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker. What does the Bible say? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And they that partake of it is not wise. So if you are drinking wine here and there, the Bible says you are not wise. And if you are not wise, that means you are a foolish virgin. Amen? So let us not be drinking no wine in these last days. Amen? Go with me now, Daniel chapter 1, verse 5. "And the king appointed them a daily portion of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank." So nourish, listen to this word now. So the king is trying to give Daniel and his three friends wine. What the purpose of this wine? To nourish them only here's 3 years. That the end there of their march. That means so the king gonna give them wine to drink 3 years. They're gonna become wine glutton, wine babbler. To stand before the king to look on their countenance. And this wine supposed to make them look fear. But we know this wine, beloved, it caused your countenance to be disfigured. No, this is the literal wine. Or they're trying to use the literal wine for what? Nourishing for 3 years. So they can drink wine. So when the time the 3 years expire, now Daniel and his three friends can come before the king, and the king can look at them and say, okay, yes, they are drinking my wine. But nonsense. Now, go with me now. Look at the spiritual wine now. Look at the word. Remember, the wine. What is the purpose of the wine? To nourish them 3 years. Remember this word. Wine is there given the literal wine to nourish. Look at the spiritual wine now. Go with me to 1 Timothy. We are proving this from the Bible. A lot of us, we can prove it from the spiritual prophecy. But when you are teaching others outside believers, you cannot use the country. You have to use, thus say, the word of God. Only the Bible. Line upon line. Precept on precept. Here a little and there a little. 1 Timothy 4:6. 1 Timothy 4:6. Then we're going to go into a study. I'll jump ahead myself. If I read it again, we get a double portion of a blessing. 1 Timothy 4:6. Remember now, we just look at the literal wine. The literal wine, the purpose of the literal wine, for them to drink 3 years to nourish them so they can come stand before the king. But look at the spiritual wine now. I want you to catch it. God said, these 3 years I come to examine my people and I found no fruits. Mercy. But the king wants to give Daniel and his three brethren wine to drink 3 years. So they can come before the king and the king can examine. Pause. I want you to catch it, friends. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, give us a message. This message is going to bring conversion. This message is going to cause transformation of character, which is bearing fruit. So God said, these 3 years I come to examine. These 3 years I come to look for fruit among my people. But I saw none. But Jesus said, but God said, cut them down. They look fear, but closely, no fruit. So Jesus said, give me one more year that I may go and dig, that I may go and put the dung. The dung is the fertilizer. The dung is the manure to enrich the soil, to enrich their spiritual experience, to enrich them, to give them a zeal for reading more of the Bible. To give them a zeal, to have a hunger and thirst after righteousness. 1 Timothy 4:6. 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Listen to the word again. Nourish up, not in literal wine, nourish up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Can you see the literal wine and the spiritual wine? What is the purpose of the literal wine? To nourish them for what? 3 years. The spiritual wine, the unfermented wine, which is God is teaching, is to nourish you and I for us for 3 years. So when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit come to visit us, you can see that this wine that we are drinking, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in other words, the teaching of Jesus Christ. Don't get confused now, friends. We're talking spiritual things. I pray that you don't overheat. I pray that you prepare your mind so you can comprehend spiritual things. Remember, Jesus said, if any man will do his will, John chapter 7, one of my favorites, John chapter 7, this is all you're going to know, the truth from air. John chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus said, if any man will do his will, he shall know. In other words, he shall know of an experience with, of a be familiar with what? He shall know of the doctrine. Paul, what makes Seventh-day Adventist Church distinct and different and set aside? Doctrine. But no, we see a lot of erroneous doctrine among us. But you get the point. What makes us different? Doctrine. So Jesus saying, if any man will do his will, in order for you to know what is Jesus' will, Jesus said, you must know what is my doctrine. You must not only believe in me, but you must have the faith of me. The faith of Jesus is dealing with the doctrine of Jesus. Amen, friends? Let me move on. I'll jump ahead of myself. You're going to get these things more in detail. What kind of wine is this? So we are looking at the fermented wine now. Fermented wine is false doctrine. The false doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church, the papacy, the Jesuit order. Because remember in Isaiah, go back with me now, Isaiah chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 28 verse 7, Isaiah chapter 28 verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. I want you to catch it, friends. Remember, the purpose of giving Daniel and his friends wine to what? Nourish them 3 years. But remember, Proverbs chapter 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. He that partake of it is not what? Wise. So the foolish virgin, they are not what? Wise. Because they never made the preparation to have enough wine, to have enough oil in their lamp. They never made the necessary preparation to study. They never made the necessary preparation, the words that they hear, to apply to their life, to apply to their on a daily basis. So that's why they become a foolish virgin, careless and indifferent. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 7, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. Remember, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. So because of this wine, this strong drink will cause you to be out of the way. What is this way? Cause you to be out of the way. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. What is this way? Thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your sin. We will not walk therein. And strong drink are out of the way. The priests and the prophets have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. So because of this wine, they err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Are you hearing this, friend? Err in vision, in other words, err in understanding. Err in breaking down the word of God. Rightly dividing the word of God. Line upon line, priest upon priest. Because a drunken man cannot read what is spiritual. Are you with me, friend? I want to know, because the Bible said they have air to wine. Go with me, 2 Timothy 2.18. 2 Timothy 2.18. 2 Timothy 2.18. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. Who concerning the truth of air, they have air in our truth. Who concerning the truth of air? Paul, err in the truth, what does this mean? That means you do not have Jesus. You have a form of godliness and deny the power. Right? Because the Bible says he who do not continue in the doctrine of Christ have not God. Amen, friends? Because the doctrine of Christ is dealing with present truth. And we want present truth in these last days. Because we do not want to err and not having the Father, nor the Son, nor the Holy Spirit with us. I think it's in 1 John, 2 John 1, 9. 2 John 1, 9. Let me check something. Give me a second. Let me check something. Okay, go with me to 2 John. 2 John 1, 9. 2 John 1, 9. Not 1 John, 2 John 1, 9. The Let me show you something. So because air true wine, the Bible is going to give you the clarification of what? What is your condition right now? Because they are true wine, they also are in truth. Listen to what the Bible says. 2 John 1, chapter 1, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth, what is the word for transgression? Sin. 1 John 3, 4. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Notice what this is very, very, very important. Do you see our doctrine is very crucial, very important? The Bible says, whosoever what transgresseth and abideth not in the teaching, abideth not in the wine of Christ, abideth not in the faith of Jesus, he had not God. Either abided in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. So when you have the faith of Jesus, that's why Jesus said, he who loved me, my Father, will abode with him, and we will dwell with him. So Jesus is showing you now, if you want my presence, you must, if you want to do my will, you must have a knowledge, you must familiar, you must have an experience with doctrine. Should make the separation of the other different denomination. Many say the Sabbath is do away with. False doctrine. Many say that when they experience loved ones dying in heaven, false doctrine. Many say there is no sanctuary, mercy. There is no sanctuary in heaven. False doctrine. I wonder if you're getting me, beloved. Doctrine is very important. Let us move on. So everyone who is drinking this wine, they are mad, spiritually mad. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 6 and 7. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 6 and 7. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 6 and 7. Flee out of the midst of Babylon. Deliver every man his soul. Time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon being a cup. Babylon had been a cup. Sorry. Flee out of the midst of Babylon. Deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon had been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. And had that made all the hurt drunken. The nation have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nation are what? Mad. Spiritually out of their mind. That's why the Bible said they have everyone who is drinking this wine, everyone who believing and the teaching and promoting the wine of Babylon or the teaching of Rome, they are spiritually mad. So now listen to what the Bible said again. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 6 and 7. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Pause. If you are in Babylon, can you deliver no one from Babylon? You must first know who is Babylon. You must first know doctrine. You need to know who Christ is and what is Christ's standard and what is Christ require of you and I. So the Bible said, deliver every man his soul. You and I, we cannot deliver no one. We can't even deliver our own selves. It is the power of the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, move upon our hearts and show us truth, the deep things of God. And so now, God's going to teach you and I. That's what the Bible said. Come out of her, my people. Come out of that system. Come out of that belief. Come out of that false security. The Bible said, deliver every man his soul. How can you deliver those from Babylon? First, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. First. Right? Then you can teach and help others to come out of her, my people. What do I mean by that? In Psalms chapter 51, we're talking about deliver every man his soul. Psalms chapter 51, verse 13, it reads, then shall I know. Pause. Very deep, right? Remember Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know. Notice this word. He shall know. Psalms chapter 51, verse 13. These are very important verses, beloved. Psalms chapter 51, verse 13. Then shall we know. Sorry. Let me go there. Then shall we know. Let me go there right quick. We're not giving you off my head. Don't want to. Okay, yes. Sorry. My apology, friend. Psalm chapter 51, verse 13. Then will I teach transgressor thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. But pause. How can you teach transgressors? Because now you are familiar with the doctrine of Jesus. You are familiar with the written word, the undiluted word, or the teaching of Jesus Christ. So now you have to have an experience with Jesus' doctrine. And now Jesus is going to enlighten you now, beloved. Because remember, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Light is also understanding of who Jesus is. The entrance means open up the word of God. The entrance of the door is the word. Jesus said, I am the door or the gate. The entrance of thy word gives light, friend. That light, Jesus wants to light up your mind with the revelation of heaven, the revelation of his love. Jesus wants to light up your mind so you can know truth from error. Amen, friend? So that's what the Bible says, for the whole world, for she has made all nations drink of the wine of her fornication. Once upon a time, you and I drink of some of that wine. But now because of God's love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This only begotten son is Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, the Savior of the human race, come and to redeem man from their fallen nature, come to redeem man from their disobedient fallen nature, to show them the right way, to give them a choice. If you follow this way, you will be secure, you will be guarded from the plot of Satan. So you see, it's very important to know doctrine. So when you're familiar with doctrine, then you can follow the condition of Psalm chapter 51, verse 13 said, then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Remember Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 6 and 7 said, flee out of the midst of Babylon, deliver every man his soul. Remember, you're going to deliver them, every man their soul. You're going to teach them what doth say the Lord. It is written. Amen, friends? So you're going to teach the transgressor, teach those who do not believe that the law of God is still binding. They don't have no obligation to keep it. But the Bible said, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the duty of every man, of all men. Our duty is to keep the commandment, not in our own strength. God give us the help of the Holy Spirit and his word, and also angels that are going to guide our steps in these areas. So you see a controversy between worship, friends. False worship and true worship. Let me move on. In the same Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 6 and 7, on the bottom it said, the nation have drinking of her wine, therefore the nation are mad. But this wine, remember I show you the literal wine, fermented wine, the wine that caused you to be drunk, it's called fermented wine. The wine that doesn't cause you to be drunk, which is spiritual wine, which is good doctrine. Remember, good doctrine is unfermented wine, which Jesus is giving. Remember the Bible said in 1 Timothy 4, 6, and if thou be a good, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourish up in words of faith. So Jesus wants to give you the good doctrine, the good wine, to be nourished up in words of faith. Why you need faith?
Faith come by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Faith develop your confidence in God. Faith strengthen your faith in Jesus Christ. The faith, the studying of the word causes it to be bold. The studying of the word causes it to resist and to stand up against error and every erroneous doctrine that is not sound doctrine that coming from the Bible. So that's why now you need to have a knowledge of the word of God. Not only a knowledge and deny the power, but a knowledge to live by, to exercise, to practice. So when you hear false doctrine, your hand can stand up. You want to descend. That's what the Bible says. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to oppose error. Be ready to stand up for Jesus. Be ready to stand up for the pillar of your faith. So the Bible says nourish. So let us look back at this word nourish, because we see literal wine they use to bring nourishment and also a spiritual wine. Go with me to Genesis chapter 50. So nourish, Jesus' word going to nourish you, because you might be malnourished, but Jesus wants to nourish you spiritually with words of faith. Genesis chapter 50, verse 21. Genesis chapter 50, verse 21. Genesis chapter 50, verse 21. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones for them. A pause. So the word of God is to nourish you. Whatever situation that you are going through, it's to nourish you, it's to build you up, to give you spiritual stamina. Are you with me, friends? Spiritual boldness, spiritual sound mind. But not of fear, but of love and power of sound mind. So God said, now therefore fear ye not. I will nourish you. Nourish you with what? With words, I say. Pause. Why do you think Jesus said, give me one more year that I may go down and dig? Dig out the things out of their life. Dig out the bad habits. Dig out all of these stubborn sins out of their heart so I can go dung. The dung is to nourish the soil. The dung is to bring up the pH level of the soil. The dung is to give the soil nourishment. Are you with me, friends? The word of God is to nourish you spiritually. The word of God is to nourish you wherever you are lacking in your spiritual walk. Intemperance, read more. Hunger problem, read more. Study more. You have depression, go into the word of God. Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I will take away your burden. So Jesus wants to nourish you with words of life. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. So Jesus is not a selfish Lord. Jesus wants to nourish you and to nourish your little ones. Nourish your family members if they are willing. And he comfort them and speak kindly unto them. So Jesus wants to speak kindly unto you. But Rome, Babylon, wants to dictate how you worship. Dictate how you live. Dictate how you spend your money. Dictate how you travel. Dictate how much AC do you use. Dictate how many heat you put on in the cold time. Dictate how many times you spend your money. But Jesus gives you a free will. That's what the Bible says. Give glory to him. Rome ain't want no glory. Rome going to bring dictatorship. So you must do this. That's what the Bible says, for he called all nations to drink of this wine, but rich, small or great, to cause them to receive, beloved, the mark of the beast. The word cause, coerce, is to force. Rome wants worship, but she's going to do it with force. God wants worship, but God's going to do it with love. Amen. Let me move on. Go one more step with me with nourish. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter. Because remember, nourish, in order for you, if you are lacking, if you don't eat a certain time, you know this, your body going to start get weak, right? Faint. Going to start feel faint. Because your body is starting lacking the nourishment, magnesium, potassium, and all of these things, iron, zinc, you name it. So God wants to give you that nourishment with word. That's what the Bible says, man shall not, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Bread is to nourish you, to give you strength. In order for your faith to be strengthened, you must have a desire, a zeal, a hunger for spiritual things. You must have a desire, a hunger for Bible study. Wherever you can find Bible study, search until you find some deep Bible study going to challenge your mind. The human mind was designed to be taxed, to deal with hard things, to figure out hard things, beloved, and do hard work. But if we do, we want to be easy in Zion, then brain going to be weakened. And the frontal lobe, the power, the higher power will be weakened. Are we going to function from the limbic system, which is the lower power? Hunger, pride, and all of these things going to arouse. But when you read upon the word of God and you study, now this is what's going to happen. When the Bible says 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, casting down imagination. So because you are studying, because you are consistent in devotion, consistent in communion with God, consistent in Bible study, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, pulling down even negative thoughts, pulling down stronghold and causing every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge that you know that is in the Bible. Cast down these imaginations. Amen. Let me move on. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 3 and 4. Remember, we are dealing with the word nourish. So if God says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So God wants to give you literal bread and also spiritual bread, because the spiritual bread is to strengthen you in these last days. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 3 and 5. 3 to 4, sorry. 3 to 4. 3 to 4. And I will gather the remnant of the flock of, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of our country where I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Fruitful and what? Increase. Verse 4, and I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed. Feed is to nourish, right? Feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Man, I want to come at this place for not even hear no word. It's a feel-good message. Message never arose me. I was just vexed with my husband. I don't hear a message of all this which say, repent of your sins. Make all things right. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, neither be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking. So God wants to give you and I what? Words of faith to nourish you up spiritually. If you are malnourished, that means you are lacking some vitamins, some minerals. So God wants to nourish you, beloved. Nourish you with his study. Nourish you in quiet time in the studying of his word. Nourish you up in words of faith. With good wine. Not fermented wine, but with unfermented wine. Let us move on. The church that are drinking this wine are staggering on the truth of God's word. Everyone who is drinking this wine That's why they say the Sabbath is do away with. No, you know that this church is teaching a different wine. They are teaching Rome wine. If you don't believe me, go with me one more step. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 9 to 12. Isaiah chapter 29, the church that are drinking wine are staggering on the truth of God's word. And also, write this one down. Psalms 107, verse 27. Psalms 107, verse 27. I'm going to read this one quickly. They weave to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wet hand. Psalms 107, verse 27. Now I'm going to give you Isaiah chapter 29, verse 9 to 12. I'm reading Isaiah now, chapter 29, verse 9 to 12. So if you are drinking wine, I'm going to show you now, your understanding is numb. Your understanding, your eye, your vision is closed. Watch this. Say to yourself and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. Huh? They stagger, but not with strong drink. Hmm. For the Lord hath poured upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. Close your eyes means close your understanding. In other words, close your vision. In other words, close your judgment. Amen? The prophet and your ruler, For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophet and your rulers, the seer hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the word of a book that is sealed. So even when they open up the word of God, the book, the word of God, the only Bible is sealed unto them. So they're going to use their own theology, their own philosophy, and to break down the word of God on a carnal level. Why? Because they are carnal and soul under sin. Because they are come up against spiritual things. And they cannot comprehend spiritual things. Why? Because we need the Holy Spirit so we can comprehend spiritual things. And so because they are unwind, the spiritual things, like, it is foolishness unto them. Why? For they cannot know them. Why? In other words, they cannot understand the things of God. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which man delivered to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is learned, the Bible, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I am not learned. So even the educated, when they are on wine, at the wine of Babylon, they cannot understand. That's what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So God wants to give us the understanding of the revelation of his word in these last days. Revelation chapter 18, verse 2 and 3. Revelation chapter 18, verse 2 and 3. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. He's fallen. And it becomes the habitation of devils. Pause right here. So because they are drinking the wine of Babylon, everyone who is drinking the wine of Babylon, they become the habitation of what? Devils, unclean. What do you think the Bible says? Come out of her, my people. What do you think the Bible says? Deliver every man his soul out of Babylon. Why? Because they become like the habitation of devils. And what else? And the soul of every foul spirit. When you are drinking the wine of Babylon, you have a foul spirit. Even your behavior changed. Your behavior spoiled people. Peace, mercy. You can even in the church, and if your behavior is sour, Babylon wine. Which wine are you getting? Mercy. And the owner of every false spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You're unclean. Even your worship that you give unto God, it is unclean. Because Jesus is teaching clean doctrine, good wine. Words of faith to nourish you up, to build you up, to bring your character a little higher, to transform the roughness, the rough edges. Jesus wants to polish you, turn you up. Jesus wants to put the chisel on some of us, put the hammer on some of us to chisel us off, the rough edges, to smooth us off, beloved, so we can have a smooth, mild, loving character. But Babylon disfigure your character. For all nations are drinking of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So now, the Bible says, now remember in Revelation chapter 14, verse 8, go with me now, Revelation chapter 14, verse 8, what I want you to focus on, the Bible says, talk about the wine of her fornication. I want to know what is the wine of her fornication. I want you to read this quickly. I want you to fix your eyes upon it. Don't take my word for it. Give you Bible. Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. I read it quickly for you. And there follow another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of her, of the wrath of her fornication. What am I focusing on? The wine of the wrath of her fornication. Question for you. What is the wine of the wrath of her fornication? Go with me now, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness. Everyone now, remember, bread is also dealing with food, wine, teaching of God's word. So if you are drinking, teaching the doctrine of Rome, you are eating, drinking wine of wickedness. That's why now you're going to persecute God's people in the last days. Watch this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of boiling. So the wine of Babylon is what? Dealing with what? Boiling. If you don't believe me, go one more step. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29 to 30. Proverbs chapter 23, 29 to 30. Coming on to a close. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29 to 30. Who had woe? Who had sorrow? Who had contention? Who had babbling? Who had wounds without cause? Who had redness of eyes? Bible asks you a lot of questions, right? Can't emphasize. We're going to move on. They that tarry long at the wine. So who have redness of eyes? Them that tarry long at the wine. So who are drinking this wine, they are babbling. They that tarry long at wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. So the wine of Babylon is very deadly. It's subtle. It mixed with truth and also error. All right, now, them that are drinking the wine of Babylon forget God's law. What, let me show you. Because the Sunday church preachers, you know, they're going to go to church on Sunday. They believe that the law of God is do away with. You don't have the obligation to keep the law of God. Why? Because they are drinking the wine of Babylon. Let me show you now. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 5, 4 and 5. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4 and 5. It is not for King or Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law. Pause. Everyone who's drinking this wine, the fermented wine, the wine of Babylon, the teaching of Rome, they forget the law of God. Are you seeing this, friends? And pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So they pervert the gospel of Jesus. Why do you think Paul said, for you preaching another gospel, which is not another gospel, but you have perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, you are teaching that the commandment of God is do away with. When Jesus said, think not that I come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. So you teaching that God's law is do away with, but God's law is still binding. This is the law that's going to judge you and I. Paul, why do you think you do not cut down on your sin? Because Jesus stands between God and man. Are you with me, friend? So when Jesus stepped out between God and man, the law now stands to judge you. Because when you sin, the law says death penalty. But Jesus is the lawgiver. That's why now grace step in. Mercy step in. Favor step in. Forgiveness step in. But when Jesus stand up, beloved, under grace, but they are foolish virgins. They're not knowing that Jesus is grace. Grace is not, grace you do not deserve. Jesus stands between God and man. When you sin, the law said death. Jesus said a second trial. You and I, we are on a second trial at this moment, beloved. Jesus said second trial. But this is what the Bible said. The Bible called them foolish virgins. No, evil servants, I read them. Matthew chapter 24, verse 48. Matthew chapter 12. I have a lot, beloved. You don't even get nothing yet, but I'm just giving you scripture after scripture. Mercy. Might do a part three, but we're just going to move on. I believe you get the point. Matthew chapter 24, verse 48. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, verse 49 as well, and shall begin to smite, that word smite, you will find that word smite in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 18. We'll move on. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkard. What does this mean? Listen to what the spirit of prophecy said. Maranatha, January 26th. Maranatha, January 26th. Write this down. Page 34. Maranatha, January 26th. Page 34. Evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. He does not say that Christ will not come. He does not scoff at the idea of his second coming. But in his heart and by his action, in other words, by his preaching and words, he delayed. Listen now. He banished from the mind of others the conviction that the Lord is coming quickly. What the evil servant banished from the mind of the people? He banished from the mind of others the conviction. Conviction of sin, get ready. Jesus is coming. Repent of your sin. You cannot live like this and think you're going to go to heaven. No, you are going to hell. Your life needs to come up a little higher. Banish from the mind of others the conviction that the Lord is coming quickly. His influence lead man, his influence lead the congregation, his influence lead his flock to presumptuous, fearless delay. He mingles with the world. It is a fearful assimilation with the world. He is taken in the snare. Beloved, read one more for you quickly. 4 minutes. Cut it right short in righteousness. I have a lot, but I'll give you this last one. Review on Errol, August 28. Review on Errol, August 28, 1883, paragraph 1. I repeat it. Review on Errol, August 28, 1883, paragraph 1. Watchman, what of the night? Question. Watchman, what of the night? Is the inquiry that should now arise from all hearts. And the true watchman will be able to give the answer. The true watchman are the faithful remnant, Seventh-day Adventists, will give the world the true answer. The morning cometh, also the night. This is a day of pearl, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Men are blinded, infatuated by the God of this world. They close their eyes to the fearful events that are causing their shadows before. Pause. When you hear Seventh-day Adventists say we must not focus, you are a foolish virgin. You need to go rebaptized. You need to go sit down and do some Bible study, because we are not dealing with time no more. The events that portraying in our world, it shows that we are in the end. The events that you are portraying in the government or in the news, they are showing that Jesus Christ is coming. When you hear a Seventh-day Adventist said, we must not focus on Rome, we must not pay attention to these things, you better part company with that brother and sister. Because what they are saying, they are denying the third angel, they are denying the message, the faith of Jesus. And beloved, if you have a friend and they are saying that in love, you've got to say, my sister, you don't know what you're talking about. Because the priest of practice talks about all heaven is focusing on the events that is portraying in the earth. What heaven is focusing on? The events. What's supposed to be our focus? The events are to show that Jesus Christ is coming. How is your conduct? How are you living in? Get ready and get others ready in Jesus' name. Sister Carla, go ahead. give you back the line.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Ricardo. What a blessing, brothers and sisters. I pray that you are truly blessed, and can't wait for next week again to hear the continuation of this message or of another message. And I pray that everyone have a good night and happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Jesus love you. He's soon to come. Amen. Thank you again, brothers and sisters. I won't be able to close the line. I'm not able to pull up the screen, but thank you. And again, blessed Sabbath to each and every one of you. And Jesus loves you. And let us go back and search these scriptures. Let us share these scriptures with others and not keep it to ourselves. Amen. So thank you again. God bless. Happy Sabbath.